many people tried to get rid of this and burn it and demolish it, yet they've gone and here it is. Here it is, changing lives across the world yet again today. Because it's the Word of God. It's the Bible alone who tells us who God is and reveals to us what God has done in redemptive history. It's the Word of God that steers us from error. It grows us in sanctification, supernaturally cleanses our minds to think according to the wisdom of God.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to Living the Light. I'm Craig, and I'm host of our program. And joining me in our studio today is Pastor Robbie Simons, who is our teacher for this program. Now, Robbie, this passage that's in front of us is one that we both love, probably have memorized, and is really near and dear to our heart. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15 through 17. You want to tell our listeners what's ahead for us?
Yeah, I mean, Craig, what do you think? Is there any more important passage in the New Testament explicitly talking about the Word of God? What do you think?
No, I think this is it.
It's got to be like top, what, two or three anyways.
Yep, at least. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, so many profound doctrines are formed out of this. I mean, Craig, you're such an excellent teacher of God's Word. Can you just maybe tell the listeners, too, like, why should we care so much about the doctrine of the Word of God?
Well, I think principally because it tells us truth. We have a world around us that communicates a lot of different understandings of truth. There are personal opinions of truth. But what often we fail to recognize is those understandings of truth, it's a big word, epistemologies, they're created by us. So think of the rationale behind this. You have a broken arm, two broken arms, and you're trying to set one broken arm with the other broken arm. You don't have the strength. It's broken. You can't do it. Likewise, when we create understandings of truth and try and get a framework to understand the world, we're basically building a crooked ruler because we're crooked. We have crooked hearts. We have crooked minds. We can't understand it. So what we really need is for someone who's not broken, not crooked, who understands the situation around us that can give us truth. We need external truth given to us. And I mean, the Bible is the best external truth there actually is.
Amen. And proven time and time and time again, yes, we need an authority outside of ourselves. So that's why this message has become so dear and so important, and a passage that just unpacks again why the authority of God's Word is the ultimate and supreme authority for our lives. If we don't have it, man, we're toast. We're toast, right? Lose the truth, lose everything. So again, while we're here, living the light right now, Craig said it so well. May the Lord speak to you powerfully today through this text. Hey, Craig, we'll switch roles a little bit right now. So I'll just say, hey, so you open your Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 3, looking at verses 15 to 17. Be blessed, be encouraged. Here we go. God's word today for you. Amen. Amen. Welcome to church, everyone. Glad to see you here this service. So glad all those watching online too, maybe an overflow right now. So thankful you are here, man. I'm praying God's going to do something special in your heart. And on that note, let's get our Bibles open to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is a very, very, very important day to have a Bible. I pray that you do find a way to have a copy of God's Word. And as we start this message today, getting back into 2 Timothy, our series, I want to start with a quote I've always loved. It's this: a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. That's so true and so good because so often, again, it is just that, so true. Psalm 119, verse 92, the psalmist says, "If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. If I have not loved the word of God, I would have died. I would have perished within the affliction that I suffered," says the psalmist. Here's our bottom line today from 2 Timothy chapter 3 in our verses, really verse 15 to 17. The bottom line is this, our thesis, our big idea is this. Listen, you cannot live the Christian life apart from the Word of God. It is that simple. It is that profound. It is that important. I'll say it again. You, You cannot live at least an effective, fruitful, sincere life in Jesus Christ apart from the Bible. It's just impossible because God's word has been written that fruitfulness might be seen from our lives. We're going to see that exactly in our text today. It's going to be very, very clear. Why is that true? Because here's why. Here's our sermon title, because God wrote a book. This just in, loved ones, God wrote a book. You should read it. It's really important. God wrote a book. And that means that this is, look here. This is the book of books. There's just no other book like it. You might want to put your whole life against this book. You might hate the fact that they're even talking about the book. And yet the history says, again, you can't disprove the fact. There's never been a book like this. And maybe you claim to follow Christ and you believe that you're a Christian in the Lord. Listen, not without this book. Look here again, everyone at home right now, like overflow, look right here. This is a supernatural book. That was a good spot for an amen. Come on, 10:15, let's go now. Thank you. Okay. Warm me up a little bit. Here we go, right? It really, really is. I mean, again, you cannot refute that. How many people have tried to get rid of this and burn it and demolish it, yet they've gone and here it is. Here it is, changing lives across the world yet again today. The book of books, it's the word of God. It's the Bible alone who tells us who God is and reveals to us what God has done in redemptive history. It's the word of God that steers us from error. It grows us in sanctification. It renews our minds, supernaturally cleanses our minds to think according to the wisdom of God. I believe it was John MacArthur who said this. He said, some books can change your thinking. Only one book can change your nature. Amen. And that is why then the Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. As we come to our next passage in 2 Timothy, we come to one of the most important passages in the New Testament, listen, regarding what the Word of God says about the Word of God. And remember, to our entire context for 2 Timothy, Paul is preparing Timothy to fight the good fight. Timothy, you gotta be ready to fight the good fight. And the single greatest weapon we have as followers of Jesus Christ is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Ephesians 6 tells us. The one offensive weapon we have in joined with prayer again is the very Bible itself. And once again in scripture today, we have Paul placing the highest possible emphasis on the Bible. Paul is stressing to Timothy the absolute power of the Bible and his 100% reliance on the Bible. He's like, Timothy, if you're gonna make it, man, if you're gonna make this, with all the false teaching and all the opposition and all the people that will hate you and all the suffering that is required to truly follow Jesus Christ, you do not stand a chance apart from this book. Hey, you're here today right now. You're trying to go in Christ. Listen to me, please. Please, I beg of you. You cannot effectively live the Christian life apart from the word of God. You can't do it. And you say, why not? We're gonna find out in just a couple moments. The whole passage today is telling us that reality. It grieves my heart. I literally shed tears over the amount of people who claim to follow Christ and have no authentic relationship rooted in the word of God. It makes me grieve my heart. The amount of churches that are closing the book, diminishing the truth of the Bible, and somehow think they're gonna be blessed. I don't get it. It makes no sense to me. In fact, when you look at passages like today, when you seek to do that, it's the dumbest thing I can think of. It's biblical insanity. It's not biblical at all. Yet it's such a massive issue in our day. Why? Listen, ready? If you lose the truth, you lose everything. If you lose the truth, there's nothing else to stand on. Then you're just floundering out there in your own thoughts and worldly ideas. The authority of God is written down in the book of books in the Bible. Paul's saying to Timothy, and this is so important too, Timothy, and listen. Timothy, you must be convinced of the truth about truth. I'll say that again. Timothy, you must be convinced of the truth about the truth, the Bible, the word of God. The Christian life's foundation is built upon the truth of the truth. And the truth of the truth begins with this, ready? God wrote a book. God wrote a book. That was a good spot for an amen. Thank you at the back, Summer. Thank you at the back. So yeah. And what we see here is that, listen, when you have a message like this today, like get ready for the spiritual warfare. Here we go. Let the spiritual battle begin. Satan is so afraid of passages like this. He's so afraid of messages like this because he knows everything rests on it. Everything rests on it. So let the spiritual battle, some of you even right now, sitting here right now, maybe front, maybe at the back somewhere. And right now there's this battle raging within you right now because Satan's so afraid of this. Bring it on in Jesus' name. Yeah, that's a good spot for an amen as well. Okay, now listen, a message like this, it comes, it's very, very important. And if we are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have every reason to revere the Lord through his word. So what I'm gonna ask you to do right now, I'm gonna ask you as I read a passage, I'm gonna ask you to stand with me to do this out of reverence for the word of God. And actually everyone at home right now, I mean, I'm really encouraging. If you're at home right now, I encourage you to stand. You're like, I'm in my PJs. Stand up, man, let's go, all right? And I really encourage you, if you're in overflow right now, just in honor of the word of God, I pray your heart is connected with this right now. But this is how sacred that this text is and this book is that we hold in our hands to. God wrote a book, 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's start verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, notice, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Father, we pray right now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. I beg you, oh God, would you do just that? Would you take your word and would you use it, Lord, today for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the men and women of God may be complete and equipped now for every good work. Lord, I know how important this is, and I know you know, and so I pray you will choose to bless in ways that maybe some have never expected or anticipated. Even here, right now, today, meet us. We need you, oh God. We pray this together in Jesus' name. If you agree, you can say amen. Thank you. You may be seated. That is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And we're going to jump right in to point number one from our text, which is this, the necessity of scripture. The necessity of scripture. Yes, Lord, wake up your church today. Look at verse 14 again. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing, Timothy, from whom you've learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, notice here, man, it's so good to see you, by the way. It's so good to see you. Love you very much. Notice right here, Timothy was raised in the scriptures. Timothy believed in the scriptures, and now, Paul says, Timothy is to continue in the scriptures. Why such emphasis on the sacred writings, the scriptures? Why? Verse 15, which are able, look carefully, which are able to make you wise for salvation. The necessity of scripture. The point that Paul's making here, inspired by the Spirit of God, no one can be saved apart from the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. No one can be saved apart from the gospel, and the gospel is found in the word of God. In some form, in some way, everyone who's ever been genuinely saved in Jesus Christ has been saved through the truth of the gospel, and the gospel is found in the scriptures. It's the truth of the Bible that God uses to save souls. It's the truth of the Bible that the Holy Spirit blesses. It's the truth of the Bible that is absolutely necessary for anyone to truly be saved again in Jesus Christ. A couple of verses on the screen for you to support this, Romans 10. So faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing through the word of Christ, the gospel, the word of God, the Bible. That's how faith is received. It's the message of the gospel. Romans 1 verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because the gospel and the word of God is the very power of God for salvation. There is no salvation apart from the gospel. The gospel, again, is found in the word of God. Paul is reminding Timothy here. Timothy, listen, no scriptures, no gospel. No gospel, no one gets saved. You don't preach the gospel, man, people aren't getting saved. You're not in the word, you don't have the gospel. Timothy, this is why. The necessity of scripture. The Bible is all essential. It contains the path and truth of God of how we are saved in his son, Jesus Christ. Now notice, this is important. Notice in these verses, knowledge of the Bible does not guarantee salvation. Millions, tens of millions over the years have had a knowledge of scripture, but have not been genuinely saved in Jesus Christ. The Bible itself has many examples of people so close to Jesus, the Pharisees, with a knowledge, yet they were not saved. Many religions in our day have a knowledge of the gospel, but they are not truly saved. Why? Verse 15. Rather, it's faith in Christ Jesus, it says there. Faith in Christ Jesus revealed in the scriptures that brings salvation. So before we go any further right now, maybe this is for you. Maybe this is for you watching right now. Faith is the key that unlocks the wisdom of salvation that is revealed in the scriptures.
Are there any power partners out there? Do you know what a power partner is? Let me help you out. Live in the Light is entirely listener supported, which means we count on monthly gifts from generous donors to stay on the air. And we need the resources to create our show. Power Partners are a group of faithful supporters that give $30 or more per month, and that goes right to ministry creation and radio airtime. If you are interested in joining our Power Partner team, you can visit our website at liveinthelight.ca. Let's get back to our teacher, Pastor Robbie.
Faith is the key that unlocks the wisdom of the gospel, the message of salvation found only in Jesus Christ, which is contained in the Bible and the scriptures itself. But all of this is to point out the necessity of scripture. No Bible, no gospel. No gospel, no salvation. No salvation, done, dead. Can you imagine then as a church? Can you imagine then as a professed believer, as someone who claims to follow Jesus Christ? Can you imagine either diminishing this book or closing it altogether? Can you imagine that happening? That to me, again, is biblical insanity. How can you possibly live a life apart from the word of God when its very essence is completely necessary for life and godliness and to follow Christ on any level? How can churches claim to be again followers of Christ where they hardly open this thing at all? I mean, forgive me for being excited about this, man, but listen, if you can't excite about it, I don't know what else to do. This is a massive problem in our day. It should come with energy and urgency. It has to. So many people are dying as a result. Couple of quotes I want you to be aware of right now. J.I. Packer, he said this. He said, if I were the devil, one of my first aims would be to stop folk from digging into the Bible. Yes. He said, I should do all I could to surround it with the spiritual equivalent of pits, thorns, hedges, social media. Oh, wait, I added that in. And traps to frighten people off. I should have said that in the first service too. That would have been good. All right, next quote here. John Wesley. I love this. This is a famous quote for a reason. I am a creature of a day. I'm a spirit come from God and returning to God. And I want to know one thing, the way to heaven. How do I get to heaven? God himself has condescended to teach me the way. How? Where? He has written it down in a book. Oh, give me that book. Wesley appropriately says, at any price, whatever it takes, at any cost, give me the book of God. Let me be a man of one book. Because that is the book that shows the pathway to heaven and everlasting life. And I'm telling you, church, this is why the past season we've been in, this extended COVID season, it is an opportunity, but it's also a tremendous time of susceptibility. Many, many believers, I'm burdened by this. It's been a very dangerous season. They have drifted away from the church and they have drifted away from the word of God. And the farther you drift away from here and from the Lord, you're drifting away from life and blessing and peace and power. And you're drifting away from the very one who gives life itself. It's a dangerous season we've been in, but it can be a season of great opportunity too. But the Lord has to use it in tremendous ways. And I pray that he is. Listen, the necessity of Scripture. Number two, the inspiration of Scripture. The inspiration of Scripture. Look at verse 16. Verse 16, it says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. All Scripture is breathed out by God. Here we have in this verse one of the clearest and best known statements in Scripture about the origin of Scripture. The word breathed out there in my translation, it's the Greek word theopneustos. The only time this occurs in the New Testament. For many years and in many translations, this word was translated inspired. So all Scripture is inspired by God. Now, the problem with this is that the word inspired over time changed meaning in the English language. The word of God never changes. And the word inspired over time came to mean an in-breathing, or in this way, be like God breathing into, right? Again, the word inspired in the English language from 60 years ago has weakened in its meaning. Oh, I feel very inspired right now. I'm motivated. That kind of thing. The word has weakened in its meaning. God's word, again, does not change. Therefore, we have to change the English translation to adjust properly to the original Greek meaning and context. And so that's why in my Bible, the ESV, again, it says, all Scripture has been breathed out now by God. Or breathed out, God breathed is another way to say it too, because this is what God has done. Listen carefully. God did not breathe into the Scriptures. God did not breathe into the authors. It's not what it's saying. Rather, he breathed out the Scriptures. In other words, Erwin Lutzer, he says this, the Bible, metaphorically speaking, is the breath of God. More clarity. God did not just approve the Scriptures. Rather, he breathed them out, meaning God is the full source of all Scripture. When we talk about the doctrine of inspiration, it means then the words of Scripture are God's very words. All their words and the meaning. Let's get more clarity. Here's what the doctrine of inspiration is not. I take this from John MacArthur. Here's what it's not. It is not high-level human achievement. The Bible is not human masterpiece. Think about it. No person could ever invent the person of Jesus Christ. What human author could write a book, would write a book that damns the whole human race left to themselves? Next, inspiration is not only the spiritual matters of the Bible, but not the scientific, historical, or geographical matters of the Bible. For all Scripture to be breathed out by God, the entire Bible has been breathed out by God, every word verbal, and its meaning plenary. We get the term verbal plenary inspiration. That's what we believe of the inspiration of Scripture. Also this, inspiration is not mechanical dictation. The authors were not robots writing down one word at a time. It wasn't God saying to Moses, in, the, beginning, God. It's not how that worked. Their personalities came shining through. The Bible differs in style and vocabulary. Luke was a doctor. Paul was a lawyer. Peter was a fisherman. You can tell, again, through their writings. So get this, and I love this. The Bible, then, is what is called a theanthropic book. Theos, the Greek word for God. Anthropos, the word for man. Combine those together, a theanthropic book. The Bible, then, is both fully divine and fully human. The primary cause is God. The secondary cause is man. All of this under the perfect sovereignty and direction of God. All Scripture has been breathed out by God. Some of you right now, you're saying, hey, that's really helpful and good, but another verse would also be helpful. I say amen. Let's do that. Let's get another verse on the screen for you. In terms of the inspiration, again, of the Word of God, 2 Peter chapter 1. By the way, I have my Bible reading plan. The back of my Bible, I do it literally every day. And I literally today, one of my passages was 2 Peter chapter 1. Bam, how awesome is that? I was so encouraged, man. I got there. Here we go. Locked and loaded, ready. So excited about that. In 2 Peter 1 and verses 19 too, it's so powerful where Peter says we have something even more fully confirmed, referring to the transfiguration of Christ, which is the word of God, a lamp shining in a dark place. You will do well to pay attention to it, he says, especially as the return of Christ draws near. That's verse 19. Then he goes into verse 20. How's that for timing today? Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. No prophecy of Scripture. Just to clarify that, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. Ever. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That word carried along is also used in Acts 27 for a ship moving across the water. The sails were set, the wind blows again into the sails and the ship moves. The authors again here referred to, they set their sails, the Holy Spirit comes and blows and guides them along, carried along by the Holy Spirit. So to recap, 2 Timothy chapter 3 is the nature of inspiration, God breathed. 2 Peter chapter 1 here is the method of inspiration, carried along by the Holy Spirit. So notice it's pretty clear how Peter viewed inspiration and Paul viewed inspiration. What about the rest of the Bible? Do you know that there are more than 3,800 times in the Bible, 3,800 times where we find a statement with such a ring as, thus says the Lord. Over 3,800 times. The Old Testament repeatedly claims to be the very words of God over and over again. The Old Testament, Peter, Paul. But here's a question I would have if I were you right now that we should care deeply about too. What about Jesus? What was Jesus' view on inspiration? What was Jesus' view on Scripture? I've taught this several times in the past several years, and I'm so blessed by it. I was so blessed by it when I first came up with it too. Norm Geisler shares a very powerful summary of how Jesus viewed Scripture. I want you to see them here on the screen as well. Now, by the way, this for those who are part of Hope Bible Church and anyone else, of course, who wants to, this is your homework right now, okay? So one of the few times I'm gonna ask you to pull out your phone and take a picture. I'm gonna encourage you and challenge you. Pull out your phone, take a picture of this screen right here. If you want me to pose, I'm not gonna do it, all right? Maybe choose that one over there, all right? Or that one over there, whatever it might be, okay? I want you as homework today, I want you to go study all these passages and be so encouraged by the view of Jesus as he relates to Scripture, all right? That's good, man. I'd like to see you all doing that. That's so good. Do that before your head hits the pillow tonight. Go through this and study these verse references and be blessed yourself of how Jesus again views Scripture. Let me very briefly go through this, okay? Jesus affirmed the divine authority of Scripture. When he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness three times, it is written. He sent Satan running by the authority of Scripture. It is written, Satan, be gone. Jesus affirmed its imperishability. In Matthew 5, Jesus says, not one dot or iota will pass away from God's word. That language he uses is the English equivalent to the dot on a small I. The very dot will not be removed from the word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away. My words will not pass away. Jesus asserted its infallibility or unbreakability. In John 10, Scripture cannot be broken. Jesus declared its ultimate supremacy. In Matthew chapter 15, he said Scripture trumps any tradition of men. Scripture is where we get our authority, not on the ways or the wisdom of the world. Jesus affirmed its factual inerrancy. In John 17, 17, again, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Your word, again, is truth without error, written by God. Jesus insisted on its historical reliability. Isn't it interesting? In the Gospels, if you were to take in the Old Testament the two most disputed and mocked stories in the Bible.
Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next time at Live in the Light.